Gemara at the bottom of Daat Mabez discusses minimum height for a sukkah, which we know is the 10 tefachim. So the Gemara asks, what is the source for this halacha that is 10 tefachim? We've already seen, not to ruin the suspense, but we've already seen on Daat Mabez the Gemara is going to resolve that perhaps this is all halacha l'moish misina. But until we get there, the Gemara attempts to derive it from the Aron, that the Aron was a minimum of 10 tefachim tall, and therefore, as well, the sukkah has to be a minimum of 10 tefachim tall. Or assumes that it's the same as the Aron, having to do with the Shekhinah, that the Shekhinah doesn't come down to lower than 10 tefachim, and if there has to be some sort of chal shem shamayim al sukkah, if somehow the Shekhinah is going to have some interaction with our sukkah, we're going to have to reach a little bit higher, or just get up to 10 tefachim. Lower than 10 tefachim, Shekhinah cannot descend. So the or doesn't descend. So the Gemara derives, well, how do we know that the Aron was 10 tefachim tall? So the Gemara, we know that the Aron was 9 tefachim tall because it was Amma v'chetzi kamaso. And an Amma 6 tefachim, another half would be another 3, so that's 9 tefachim. But what about the kaparis on top of the Aron? How tall was the kaparis? So we don't know how tall, we know how long and wide it was, but we don't know how tall it was. So how can we figure out how tall the kaparis was? So the Gemara derives it from the mizgeres, which was on top of the shulchan, like a sort of piece of wood that was on top. So that was a tefach thick. So too, the Gemara assumes that the kaparis on top of the aron was a tefach thick because that's the minimum size that we have in the Mishkan for a similar type item. And therefore, since that was a tefach, we can presume this was a tefach too. So the Gemara picks up at the bottom, the last of the narrow lines, in Hamad Aleph, Ma'ala Holon Tefach, Afkan Tefach. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's bigger, at least this is the minimum size. So then the Gemara asks, in the middle of the first wide line, V'negav Mitzitz, one minute, the Kohen Gadol wore, this is the smallest shear. The Gemara is assuming, well, you know, it could be it was bigger because there were other kelim in the Mishkan that were bigger. Maybe we should assume it was more similar to those kelim. So the Gemara says, no, we don't want to assume it was similar to bigger kelim because tafasta meruba loy tafasta tafasta mua tafasta. Well, let's assume, you know, if we choose the smallest kli, it was at least that big. If we choose, it might have been bigger, but at least it was that big. If we choose a bigger item, it might have been that big, but it might have been less too, and then in which case we'd be wrong. So at least it's minimum of a tefach. So Gemara says, really, if you're looking at minimums that you know, you want to be as safe as possible, what about the tzitz? The tzitz was a plate that was worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. The sanya tzitz, doime kamin tas, was a plate, shows off of gold, v'rachav beiz etzbos, and it was two etzbos wide, umukav me'ezen lo'ezen, would go from one ear to the other ear, v'kasav olav beiz shitin, and there were two lines on it, yud, and then a hey mumala, v'kodesh lamed milmata, kodesh l'ashem. V'am Elazar b'Reb Yaisi, ani ra'isi b'raimi, he says, I actually saw it in Rome, v'kasav olav kodesh l'ashem v'shita achas. It said it all on one line. Either way, though, the tzitz is much more narrow, much thinner. So let's learn out from the tzitz. The tzitz was a kol shoe. Maybe this kaparis on top of the aron was only a kol shoe. It was only a 9 tefachim was the aron. The extra tefach was a kol shoe, not a tefach, another tefach that we're deriving from the mizgeres, which was a similar type of plate on top of the shulchan. We assume the aron is the same. No, maybe it was less. Maybe it was like a kol shoe, the width of the tzitz. So Gemara resolves, or the Gemara answers, no, we're not going to do that, because done in kli mikli, we're going to learn out similar type utensils from each other, but ain't done in kli mitachshid. We're not going to derive a kli from an ornament that was worn by the Kohen Gadol. Okay, they're too different, and therefore we're not going to derive one from the other. And then the Gemara goes on with the discussion, why don't we derive it from the crown on top of the mizbeach, and on top of the shochan, and so on and so forth. The sugya continues. However, Taisis on Daf Hei Amud Aleph picks on a what seems to be a tangential issue, but it's fascinating. And that is, the Gemara here told us, what was the tzitz shape like? And in an attempt to figure out how wide the kaparis, or how tall the kaparis was, we're going to, the Gemara, you know, derived it from the mizgeres on top of the shulchan, but the Gemara asked, why can't we derive it from the tzitz, which was much thinner? So in describing what was written on the tzitz, the Gemara initially said it was on two lines, and then Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi said, I saw it in Rome, and it was on one line. But on the one line, he just said, Kodesh Lashem. But in describing the two lines, the Gemara said it was Yud, and then a Hey, Milmala, and Kodesh Lamed Milmata. We would have assumed it would have been Kodesh Lamed on top, then the Shem Hashem on the bottom, but we wouldn't want to put the Shem Hashem under anything else. So we have the Shem Hashem, the Yud, and then the Hey, which is an abbreviated form of the Shem Havaya, was the whole thing, Yud, a Hey, then a Vav, a Yud, and then another Hey. And Kodesh Lamed on the bottom line. So Tysus is bothered, how is the Gemara able to do this by spelling out the name, the letters of the Shem Hashem? Afo Pisha Yud, and then a Hey, Shem Gamur, this is a complete name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Shem Ka. Ein Zeh Hoige Shem Be'oisi Yosef. This is not a violation of articulating the letters of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The source for this issue is in Gemara Masechtas Avodah Zarah. But I say, look over here, Oiz Aleph. The Gemara tells in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Yudches Mer Aleph. One of the people who forfeits his chelek in Olam Haba is a person who denies Torah Min HaShamayim. He believes Torah is a wonderful and beneficial system that was devised by a council of wise men. If you believe that, you don't believe in Torah Min HaShamayim, you forfeit your chelek in Olam Haba. Or a person who believes Ein Tchias HaMeisim in a Torah, he believes that the Torah is wonderful, but there's no such thing as an afterlife. Or that the Meisim will come back from the dead. Abba Shoah Omer, Afa Hoiges Hashem Be'osi Yosef. This is, this is some company that this is found in. Person who denies Torah Min HaShamayim is Tchias HaMeisim, but included in that group of individuals is a person who's Hoige as Hashem Ba'osi Yosef. He articulates the letters of the Shem Hashem. So, look at Tosis. Tosis quotes two explanations for what this could possibly mean. So, first quotes from Rashi, Perush HaKuntres, Shadarsha B'mem Beis Oisi Yosef Va'osi Boi Mashu Chafetz. He uses the Shem HaMefarash, which consists of 42 letters, for his own purposes. The Shem HaMefarash was a very powerful incantation. If a person used it, he could accomplish fantastic things. For example, the Pasuk tells us in Parashat Shmos that Moshe Rabbeinu killed a Mitzri. He looked to each direction, he saw nobody was there. After he saw the Egyptian hitting a Jew, so he looked in either direction, so no one was there. He hit the Egyptian, and he buried him in the ground. So it sounds like from the Pasuk that he hit him. However, the Pasuk, a few Pesukim later, Moshe Rabbeinu sees two Jews fighting. Moshe Rabbeinu comes over to them, hey, break it up. They say, who appointed you to be a counselor for us? And then one of them says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hala Akeinu Ata Omer? What, are you going to kill us too? Is that what you're saying? So Rashi says, why does he use the word Hala Hagenu Ata Omer? Are you saying you're going to kill us? So Rashi says, because Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri with the Shem HaMefarash. He didn't hit him, even though the Pasuk says, Vayach Es HaMitzri, he hit him. Rashi says, it doesn't mean that he hit him, it means that he used the Shem HaMefarash to kill him. Why did he use the Shem HaMefarash? Was he just like showing off? Or maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was, a pacifist, he didn't want to use his fists. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu use the Shem HaMefarash? So the Brisker Rav explains, Rav Soloveitchik has this as well in his letters to his father. It's found in the Sefer Igros HaGrid. And he suggests, because the Rambam, quote based on the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, says that a guy who hits a Yisrael is chay of Misa B'dei Shamayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't punch him, hit him. That would be Misa B'dei Adam. So, and he's not chayv misa b'dei adam. He's chayv misa b'dei shamayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to kill him with the Shem HaMefarash. That's considered to be misa b'dei shamayim because the Shem HaMefarash is what killed him. That's what the Brisker Rav says like that. Rav Soloveitchik had the same idea. Okay, so you can accomplish fantastic things with the Shem. So Moshe Rabbeinu was obligated to do that because he's chayv misa b'dei shamayim. Who asked Moshe Rabbeinu to be the intermediary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to administer all Misa V'dei Shamayim in this world? Another good question. The Baal HaTosis asked that. It's a Parsha Shmos. But either way, why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to go around killing everybody who's Chayav Misa V'dei Shamayim with the Shem HaMefarash? We don't find such a, an obligation to do so. We could leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work to Hashem. But either way, whatever reason Moshe Rabbeinu felt the need to intercede, the Shem HaMefarash could accomplish tremendous things. Moshe Rabbeinu had license to do it over there in Parashat Shmos because this person was Chayav Misa V'dei Shamayim. But in general, you're not allowed to use the Shem HaMefarash, even though it can accomplish great things. You're not allowed to use it for your own diabolical purposes. So that's what Rashi, how Rashi understood the Iser of Hahoyge as Hashem Baris Yosef is you use the Shem HaMafarash for your own purposes. That's what the Iser is referring to. However, Tosis does not explain like Rashi. Tosis continues over there in Avodah Zarah on the first second line. V'roiv ha'olam mefarshim, but most Rishonim interpret she'kare beperush oisio shel shem hamiyuchad, but oisio shel shar hatevos. You spelled out the name, the letters of the shem havaya, letters of one of the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Tosis seems to interpret that it's really two things are included in this. The first is you spoke the letters of the Shem Havaya. You're not even supposed to read them as they are, because the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Pesachim, I gave it to you over here, Ois Gimel. Everybody look at the Pasuk, Ois Gimel. The Gemara, Ois Gimel. Commenting on the Pasuk, Sefer Zechariah. V'hoya Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'aretz, v'yoy mehu yeshem echad u'shmayecha. Because Baruch Hu will, on that day, rule over all of the world, and on that day, he will be one, and his name will be one. So, for the Gemara, Otu ha'idnu lav echad hu. What, now Hashem is not one? He's one now. What do you mean, on that day? V'hai Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'aretz b'yoy mahu. On the day of, you know, the Geula, the coming of Mashiach, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one now. Amar Rav Acha, Rav Chanina, lo'i ka'ol ha'mazeh ha'ol ha'ma'ba. Now it seems like there's two Hashems. There's one Hashem who bestows a goodness upon us when we say HaToiv HaMeitiv, and then there's another Hashem who seems to wreak havoc in the world when we say Dayan HaEmes. Now we know theologically that it's all the same Hashem, and that that Kol Ma'adavid Rachmanu L'Tavavid, but we don't see that in this world. We don't see the goodness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's actions all the time. Sometimes it's perceived by us as being harmful, or being as a destructive punishment. We don't see how everything is Kol Ma'adavid Rachmanu L'Tavavid. We might believe it, but we don't see it. So therefore, Hashem's isn't united entirely in this world. And that's but la'olam haba kula hatov ameitiv. La'olam haba will understand the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all that he does, and therefore he'll be united as one. So that's v'haya Hashem echad. He will be one. What's ushmay echad? His name will be one. My echad atu ha'idna lav shmay echadu. In this world, he's not one. Amram nach mar yitzvah lo'y kolam hazeh la'olam haba. In this world, it's not the same as the next world. La'olam hazeh nichtav biyud then a hay. V'nikra ba'alef then a dalid. The name is written yud hey and then a vav and a hey, but we pronounce it aleph then a dalid then a nun then a yud. The shem adnos. It's written shem havaya. We pronounce it the shem adnos. Aval olam haba kulo echad nikra b'yud and then a hey. In the olam haba, instead of using the shem adnos, we're going to use the shem havaya. That's what we'll be. The Maral explains it's because a name represents a person's essence. So the greatness of Adam HaRishon was in giving all the animals names. It's not that he was able to come up with all names for different species of animals. You know, any creative child can do that. The greatness of the fact that Adam HaRishon was able to give all the animals names is that he was able to seize upon their essence in giving them names. A name represents a person's essence, as the Gemara says in Brachas, Minolan Deshma Garim. That's why people take lightly the idea of giving children names and come up with the most creative names. It's not really in the spirit of giving names. In fact, Ariel Kodesh says every parent is zaycha to Ruach HaKodesh at the time to give the child a name. The name represents a person's essence. So in this world, Kodesh Baruch Hu's real essence is the Shem Havaya. But in this world, we can't understand it. We can't comprehend it. So therefore, we use the Shem Agnos. We're not entitled to use the Shem Havaya because we can't appreciate or assess Kodesh Baruch Hu's essence. The Mabba will be able to pronounce it in the Shem Havaya because, as the Gemara said, we will see everything, understand the ways of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, deeper fashion. We'll appreciate the goodness of all that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does, and therefore we'll be able to use the Shem Havaya as well. But in this world, it's written Havaya, or his real name is Havaya, and we pronounce it with the Shem Adnos. Avol the Mabba kulo echad nikre behavaya v'nichtav. B'yud and then hey also behavaya. Rabbi Avina Ramiksiv, he quoted from the pasuk in Parashas Shemayis, Zeh Shemili Olam, v'zeh Zechri L'dar Dar. Kadosh Baruch Hu informs Moshe Rabbeinu, this is my name forever, this is my name for generations. This is my memory for generations. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rok Sheni Nechlev Ani Nikre. Why does it say it twice? Zeh Shemi Le'olam V'zeh Zechri L'dor Dor. Because the way it's written is not the way it's pronounced. Nichtav ani b'yud and then a hey. That's li'olam. Li'olam haba, it's going to be yud and then a hey. The shem havaya. V'nikre, but midar dar. In your generations, from generation to generation, I'm going to be pronounced aleph then a dawud, with the shem agnus. Okay? So going back to Taisus and Mesechus Vaidazar. What is ha'hoiges ha'shem ba'isi? I said, Rashi explained that you're using the shem of mafarish for your own needs. The Shem of Farsh is very powerful consequences when you use it. Taisus explains in the name of Rav Ha'olam Mefarshim that it doesn't mean that you use the Shem of Mefarash, but rather you pronounce the Shem of the Havaya in this world. It's not supposed to be pronounced Havaya. We pronounce it Adnus. It's written Yud, then a Hey, and a Vav, then a Hey. But it's supposed to be pronounced with the Shem Adnus. What is Ha'hegas Hashem Ba'isi Yosef? He pronounces it as it is written with Havaya. That's an Iser, included in those who deny Tchias HaMesim and Torah Min HaShemayim. You lose, you forfeit your Chelek and Olam Haba. Not only that, but also says Taisus, included in that is if you spell out the letters of the Shem Havayah. Not if you read them the way that they would be vocalized, together as a word, but even if you spell out the letters, that's also a violation, letter and letter, 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 also a violation of Ha'hoiges Hashem Ba'isi Yosef. Instead of reading it, but you just spell out the letters, it's also the same. Zeh Shemi Le'olam V'zeh Zechri L'dor Dor means we don't pronounce it in this world and we don't even say the letters one after the other. B'nir L'ri, but Taisus continues, She'en La'hazker Af Oisiyos Yud and then a Hey. Not only can you not, now the Re extends this. What is Ha'hoiges Hashem Ba'isi Yosef is to do what? The Shem Havaya, to either pronounce it as it's written, or, instead of Adnus, or to say the letters one after another. Says the Re, even the Yud and then the Hey is also, if you say the two letters in a row, or that's also a violation of Ha'hoiges Hashem Ba'isi Yosef. K'mo Shemegiyon Ha'olam, Shrei Yud, and then a Hey, Hu Shem HaMiyuchad. That's an extrapolation also of one of the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'od nira le'arabo chanan. Not only can you not say a yud and then a hey, even just the letters in a row, because it's ha'hoiges Hashem ba'isi Yosef, the yud and the hey is a derivative of the shem havaya. So you not only can you not pronounce havaya the way that it's written, you have to pronounce it shem adnos. Not only that, you can't even spell out the letters of the shem havaya. Not only can you not spell out the letters of the shem havaya, you can't even spell out, says the Re, the letters in ka. Yud, and then a hey, you can't do that. That's a ha'hoiges Hashem ba'isi Yosef. Not only that, continues Rabbi Chanan, va'oinir Rabbi Chanan, ki gamin lahazkir aleph then a dalid. From the Shem Adnus. The aleph then a dalid, me Adnus, is the equivalent of the yud, and then a hey, me Hashem. And his raya is, because it's when the Gemara Masechta Shavuos lists off those shemos that are enon b'mechakim, what are the names of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that you're not allowed to erase? So the Gemara mentions Shin and Dalid from the word Shakai, the name Shakai, you can erase. It's only the entire name. Tzadi Beis from Tzvakais b'mechakim, you can erase them. But the Gemara says in Masechta Shavuos, Yud and then a Hey, you can't erase. And an aleph, and then a dalet, you can't erase. Oh, says Rabbi Chanan, what do you see? Not only is the yud and then the hey a separate shame, but also considered to be like a derivative of the shame havaya. So not only can you not pronounce havaya, it's supposed to be pronounced, you can't even say those letters consecutively. So to the aleph, then the dalet is also not a name that can be erased. What do you see? It's the equivalent of the shame havaya, in which case you can't even articulate or say the verbalize the first two letters of the Shem Adnus consecutively. That would also be a Ha'hoiges Hashem Ba'isi Yosef. That's a Bochanan Shita. Mashma Sha'alev Dalet Me Adnus Hu Shem Kimo Yud and then the Hey Me Havaya. That's a Bochanan. Umiu Taisa then quotes him to Ri, Nira Lari, Lahatir. The Kavan, the Lai Nimsa Bakasov, it's not found in the Pasuk. The Mashu Nimsa Kasuv Bisvarim, that which the Gemara said in Masechta Shavuos, that Aleph, then the Dalit, is from the Shemos that are not Nimchakim, was a mistake. The Seifer put it in. It was supposed to say the entire Shem Adnus. The entire Shem Adnus is not Nimchakim, like Shakai, like Tzvakos. But it's not that the first two letters of Adnus are not Nimchakim. Okay, we'll get back to the discussion about the Shem Adnus in a second. But what do you see from Tarsus? What is HaHoyges HaShem Ba'isi Yosef? What is the Iser? According to Rashi, it's to use the Shem HaMafarish for your own, personal needs. You don't like somebody, shame him a farash, boom. So you're not supposed to do that. Okay, you can't use the shame of a farash, not only because it's not right to harm other people in any way, even if it's only causality, you know, causing them to become damaged, but even so, you're not allowed to use the shame of a farash for your own personal needs. That's how he gets the shame by CSO. But why does Tysus explain it? That it means to pronounce the shame Hashem the way that it's written, or to say the letters consecutively of the Shem Havaya, even if you're not pronouncing them, or even the Yud and then the Hey. Everyone seems to at least agree to that. The Yud and the Hey, and then the Hey would also be, if you just even say the letters consecutively, it's a violation of Ha'Hegas Hashem Ba'isi Yosef. It's like kind of like you're pronouncing the Shem Hashem the way that it's written. That's a violation of Zeh Shemi Li'Olam V'Zeh Zichri L'Dardar. It's written one way and pronounced a different way. So now we come back to our problem. Look at our Tysus. What's the problem over here, Rabbi Yisrael? In our Gemara, the Gemara is describing what's written on the tzitz. Said the Gemara, there was a yod, then a hey on the top line. Ah, gotcha. You can't do that. Can't do that. Why can't you do it? Tzahayges Hashem Baisi Yosef. So you're saying that, at least according to Tesis Pshat, you're saying the yod and then the hey. You can't do it. Af apisha yod, hey, then a hey, says Tesis Hashem Gomor. Is a complete name. Ain't that Hoyges Hashem Ba'isi Yosef? Why is this not Hoyges Hashem Ba'isi Yosef? So says Tarsus, Kevin Dona Maskiram Hashem Shalem. If you're saying the Yud and then the Hey as representing the Shem Ka, that's how Hoyges Hashem Ba'isi Yosef. Because you're saying the entire name, you're articulating the letters consecutively of the entire name. But if you're saying the Yud and then the Hey as representative of the larger Shem Havaya, oh, that's different. You only then it's like it's a shortened form. You're not saying all of the letters consecutively. That's not a violation of Hoyges Hashem Ba'isi Yosef, because you don't intend for the whole name. V'oid haHoyges Hashem Ba'isi Yosef perish mikuntres daras aishir shel Hashem ben arboim v'shtayim v'afal pikei near nizhar mechol Hashem. So Rashi said, and then he quotes Taisa. Rashi's a shita that perhaps it only means not to use the Shem of Mefirash for your own needs, but Taisa says, of course, we're machmir by all the Shemos of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not to say the letters consecutively. We're machmir against Rashi's Pshat. It means you're not allowed to say the letters of the Shem Hashem consecutively, of the Shem Havaya, but the Yud and the Hey, if you don't mean for the entire, for the Shem Ka, you mean for the Shem Havaya, if you only say the Yud and the Hey, then it's all right. When would it be a problem? If you're saying the Yud and the Hey for the name Yud and the Hey, or for the Shem Ka, or you're saying all of the four letters of the Shem Havaya consecutively. That would be a problem of Ha'Hegas Hashem Ba'isi Yosef. So over here, why was this allowed? Because they said the Yud and the Hey, and they only meant for the Shem Havaya of all four letters. Here they're only saying two. Here they're only saying two. The two letters of the Shem Ka, Yud and then a Hey, are a Shem Kodesh. Just parenthetically, it's important to note, many people are not familiar with this. The Yud and the Hey is a Shem Kodesh when it is, you know, intended as for a two-letter name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Here, Taisus is saying we intended for all four letters. On the Tzitz, it was written the entire Shem Havaya consisting of four letters. All here we said was two, so that's not a problem. But if you have in mind for two, that would be a problem. That's for the Shem Ka, that is a derivative of the Shem Havaya, like a shortened form, and that would be a problem of Ha'Hegas is a Shem Ba'isi Yosef. The Shem Ka is a Shem Kodesh only if it's found independently. If it's like the Shem Kale. Kale is the Shem of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But if it's part of Daniel or Michael, that's not the Shem Kodesh. You don't have to put a dash in between the Aleph and the Lamed and be no problem in spelling out the letters of your name, obviously, because that is Shem Chol. anything that your intention is for a mundane item, your intention is not for a name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then that's allowed. Meikar, then no problem. Some Sefer says if it's two names, like Beis El, it's a city in Eretz Yisrael, Beit El. So if your intention is for Beit El, which obviously means the house of God, that's what they intend, and it's not one name, it's two names, so the Chassam Sofer was a little bit nervous about that, because it's not one Shem Chol, it's two Shemos, and one of them is really just independently Beit El, you know, sounds like the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but again, we're not machmir on that. We treat it all as a Shem Chol. Your intention is for the city. Why they named the city is a halbatzar, but we're not discussing that now. We're discussing the name of the city. I'm telling you, you want to come for lunch in my house in Beit El, that's not a problem. It's considered to be a Shem Chulin, and all of that would be all right. There is a chumrah. Some people have a chumrah that when you're writing a name that concludes with one of the Shemos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they just make like an apostrophe. So that, not because Me'ikar Adin is a problem, so that you don't come to write a shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, let's say part of the first part will become erased and all you'll be left with is independently a shame Kodesh. So that's why some people wrote, the Chazon Ish would sign his name. His name was Avram Yeshaya. So he would sign it Avram Yeshaya, would be Yun Shin Ayin Yud, and then an apostrophe. He wouldn't write the hey. People wouldn't want to put a yud and then a hey at the end of a name. Or sometimes you might see the name Yehuda written with an aleph. Why is the name Yehuda written with? It's not a machlekes how to spell Yehuda. Yehuda is written with a hey. All biblical names conclude with a hey. Yiddish names conclude with an aleph. Biblical names conclude with a hey. Why do people write Yehuda with an aleph? So the Paiskim said, discuss this issue. The Nayyid Yehuda discusses it because the name Yehuda really is all the letters of the Shem Havaya with a dawad in it. So we're afraid that maybe the Dawud will get erased, you'll forget to write the Dawud, and you'll be left eyeing about with the shame of eyes. So in order not to avoid that, people would write an Aleph. But these are all like Midas, Chassidus. People's intention is for a shame chel. That's why also we should be able to write numbers. If I mean for the number 15, you should be able to write the shame ka. I don't mean the shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I mean the number 15. But we have the minig is not to do that. We write the Tesvav or Tesayin just to avoid these kinds of issues. Yeah.
So, like, I know someone that's named
is
Ariel.
And he puts a
dash. No, and the nickname,
like, it's a girl, her nickname is
like, I don't
want to
say it until you give me the answer,
is
like the last two letters.
Like,
just count.
Really?
Yeah, is that not okay?
Well,
she thinks highly of herself, right?
No, that's
a shame.
Eliana. Yeah, Eliana, you did it a lot. Yeah.
And the name is, what? Ellie.
We'll just go,
where's
the letter?
Yeah,
just
no,
the first
two
letters.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting nickname. No, but that's a
shame,
Cho.
It's a
okay.
Letter also. Yeah. You say that you're saying L.
But when it's alone, it's
English letter L.
Yeah.
That's not the shame Kurdish anyway, it's not L. It's with a Tse right now, with a Segel. But, yeah, but either way, you don't mean that. You mean.
So even like the name itself alone, if you don't mean it, it's fine.
Like Beit El, you don't mean. Yeah, same idea. If we would abbreviate the town Beit El El, yeah, right. I guess so. Right. You don't mean that. You mean something that's chulin. You don't mean the Shem Kodesh. I think it's a little odd. I would be a little uncomfortable with it, you know. Again, but this is a minig. Me'ikar Adin, if you mean for the shame chulin, then all these things are not an issue. But let's get back. Okay, so we resolved our Gemara. How do we get out of our Gemara? Why is it the problem of Hoyga Shem Ba'osi Yosef? Because we mean for the shame Havaya, and therefore when we're using two letters, if you're only using two letters of the larger shame Havaya, that's not Hoyga Shem Ba'osi Yosef. If we would mean, though, for just the shame Kea, for the shame Ka, that would be a problem to say the two letters independently. What about the first two letters of the Shem Agnus? So let's look back at Tosfos. That's what our Tosfos seems to say, the Yud and the Hey, if you mean for the larger Shem Havaya, is not a problem. But look back at Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, Venir Lari, She'en Lahazkir, Af Ois Yos Yud and the Hey, Kamo Shev Givim Ha'olam, Shve Yud and the Hey, U'Shem Yuchad. Then Rabbi Chanan said, not only, so Yud and the Hey, I guess if you mean for the Shem Ka, That's a problem. I guess that's how we'll have to interpret what he's saying in light of our Tosfos. Because our Tosfos told us if you just say the Yud and then the Hey, if you have in mind the larger Shem Havayah, it's not a problem. So it must mean you had in mind just for the Shem Ka. Rabbi Chanan says, Ki gam in lahazker Aleph and then a Dalet from the Shem Adnos. That's like the Yud and then the Hey of the Shem Ka. And he claims that Aleph and then a Dalet is also from the Shemos, Shein and Mumchakim. Not the entire Shem Adnos, but the Aleph and the Dalet. And since it's from the Shem Hashem and Mumchakim, you can't even say it the letters consecutively. So the Re disagrees on the bottom line. Mi'unir l'Re, la'hatir, dekevon lo nimsa b'kasuk. We never find in the Pasuk anyway, the Shem Ka exists in the Pasuk. We never find the Shem, Aleph and the Dalet. There is no such name that appears in all of Tanakh. So how can that be? That's one of the Shem Hashem and Mumchakim. He can't believe it. And yes, it is mentioned in the list in the Gemara Shavuos of the Shem Hashem Mechakim is Aleph then Dalet, but he says that was an abbreviation that was put in by the editor of the Shas. Was he put in Aleph Dalet even though it meant the entire Shem Adnos? So what is the Shem Hashem Nimchak? The entire Shem Adnos. But if it's just Aleph Dalet, no. And this, in fact, is the two opinions of Shulchan Aruch. Look over here, Shulchan Aruch. Kasav Aleph Lamed Mei Elokim. Yud and then the Hey Mei Hashem from Havaya, Osha Kasav Shem Ka, the independent Shem Ka, Eino Nimchak, you can't erase them. Aval Shin Dalet Mei Shakai, Tzadi Beit Mitzvah Kais Nimchakim. Adds the Rama, that's like the Re. Never heard of this Aleph Dalet business. Adds the Rama, V'chein Aleph Dalet Mei Adnos V'yesh Mechmirim B'zeh. That Aleph Dalet is somehow, even though it's never mentioned in the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And some of the equivalent of the Yud and then the Hey from the Shem Havaya, so to the Aleph and the Dalet from the Shem Adnos. It's also Shem Sheino Nimchak, and since it's the Shem Sheino Nimchak, says Rabbi Chanan, guess what? You can't even say the letters consecutively of Aleph, then Dalet. I keep saying then or and. If you say something in between, it's not a problem. So if you say Aleph, then Dalet, it's not the two letters consecutively. Okay? Fine. So can you say, Avith, is the Aleph then the Dalet a name that's not Nimchak? And can you say it, the letters consecutively seem to be the same issue, and it's a Machlekes 2 days and now Taisvis and Avodah Zarah. Is it the same as the Yud and then the Hey from the Shem Havaya? The Yud and the Hey is that found, the Shem, found throughout Tanakh. It's referring to Hashem. The Aleph Dalet not, but some Rishonim held that it's the same. I believe this Machlekes HaRishonim is really a larger Machlekes about the relationship between the Shem Havaya and the Shem Adnos. Again, where did we get these two names from? If you remember, the Gemara told us in Masechtas Pesachim, commenting on the Pasuk in Parsha Shmos, Zeh Shemi Li'olam, Zeh Zichri L'Dardar. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Lok Sheni Nichtav Ani Nikre, I'm written one way, pronounced a different way. You can't understand my essence, so we have no right to use Hashem's real name in this world. Lots of love, yes. Now we can't comprehend him. So therefore, we describe him in a different way than he's written. It's written, that's Hashem's essence, Shem Havaya. We're not entitled to use that in this world, so we use the Shem Adnos. Are these two separate names? Or is one like the Kri and one the Ksiv? Is it pronounced Adnos, but we're reading Havaya? Or are they two separate names? Look at the Rambam. The Rambam is discussing Perek Beis of Hilchos Avodah Zarah Halacha Zayin, the Issur of cursing the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now with the curse of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Issur Mecharif Umegadef. Ve'elu hein dinei hamegadef. This is a person, qualifies as a person who curses Hashem, that he's Chayiv Skila. Ein hamegadef Chayiv Skila. Ad sheyafaris es Hashem hamiyuchad shel arba oisiyot shehu aleph dalet nun yud. You're not chayiv to curse the Kadosh Baruch Hu unless you use the Shem Adnos. Vivarach lo so b'shem in Hashem Hashem in Mechakim. You here it says bless him, but it's a lashon sagi nahar, means you curse Hashem with one of the names that cannot be erased. Shenemar v'nokev Shem Hashem al Hashem hamiyuchad chayiv skila. Let's say you said Tzevokos, or you said some other nickname of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then that's an Azhara, would be a lav, you wouldn't be Chayv Skila. Then he quotes a different opinion. She'enu chayv al shem yud, then a hey, then a vav, then a hey. You only chayv if you use the shem havaya. V'ni omer shal shneim hu niskal. You get skila for both. Both the shem adnos, as well as the shem havaya. The Rambam quotes one opinion, only chayv for the shem havaya. And the Rambam feels, though, that it's both. So the Brisker Rav asks in his Sefer, the Rambam and Hilchos Avodah Zarah, how could it be you're chayav for both? The Rambam said you have to use the Shem of Mefarash, the exact name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not one of the Shar Kinuyim. So how can it be that it's Havaya and it's Adnos, I'm sorry. It's certainly Havaya. Havaya is certainly the Shem of Mefarash. No one's going to deny that. But the Rambam feels, even if you use the Shem Adnos, you also chayav Skila. The other Rishonim said, no, the Yesh Mishim Mefarash, the Rambam quoted, said you have to pronounce it Havaya. If you pronounce it Adnos, no, it's not Megadeth. You're not Chayv Skila. The Rambam feels even if you use the Shem Adnos, you pronounce it as Adnos also. So Bishkarav explains that the Rishonim here seem to be arguing about is the Shem Adnos the same as the Shem Avaya? It's just the way it's pronounced. But it's not a separate name. And that's how the Rambam feels. It's the same as the Shem Avaya. It's written Yud Hey, then a Vav, and then a Hey, but it's pronounced Adnos, but it's not a separate name. So the Rambam feels you're Megadev, even if you pronounced it Adnos, because that is the equivalent of saying Havaya. They're the same name. Lok Shini Nichlev and Inikra, one's a Kri, one's a Ksiv, but they're the same name. The other, the Yesh Mishum Afar, the other opinion the Rambam quotes, feels that Adnos and Havaya are two separate names. So Ribbono Shel Olam is written one name and pronounced a different name. But they're two separate names. So if you want to be Chayv Megadeth, which you need to use the Shem Mefarash, you better pronounce Havaya. If you want to be Chayv Skila, because that's the Shem HaMefarash. Adnos is not. That's like a descriptive term that we use in this world, but that's not the way the revealed Shem of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam understood, no, in this world, the real Shem of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Adnos. That's the way we pronounce it. That's how we pronounce Yud, and then a Hey, and then above and a Hey, we pronounce Adnos. It's the same name. So therefore, if you're Megadev by using the Shem Havaya, you're Megadev by using the Shem Adnos. Rav Moshe claims that this Machlokes of Rishonim is found as well in the Tosfos Masechta Sota. Rav Moshe, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sota, commenting the Pasuk Parashas Nasr with regards to Birchas Kahanim. Any Kahanim here? No. Okay. Kosev Archos B'nai Yisrael. So shall you bless B'nai Yisrael. B'shem HaMefarash. You have to use the real name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same Havaya. Atoy, B'shem HaMefarash, or Eino B'kinoi. Can you use a nickname, or you have to use the same Havaya? Talmud Loimar, V'samu Eshemi al B'nai Yisrael. Kosev Archos B'nai Yisrael. Conclusion of the Pasuk. They should place my name on Klal Yisrael. Shmi HaMiyuchali, my name that's mine. Which is what? That's only mine. What's the name that's only mine? The Shem Havaya. Yoko Af Bevulin, Cain, you might have thought in outside of the Beis HaMikdash is called as the Gvulin. You might have thought Af Bevulin, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to use the Shem Havaya. Nemar Khan Vesamu Eshemi Venema Laholan Losum Eshemi Malaholan Beis HaBechira Av Khan Beis HaBechira. So whether you have to use the Shem Havaya in order to be Yetzir Birchas Kahanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, do you have to use the Shem Havaya? No, you're probably not allowed to. You have to use a different name. You have to use a Kinoi. What is the Kinoi that we use outside the Beis HaMikdash? What is the Kinoi? What do we use in Birchas Kahanim? So look at Tosfos. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Hillel. Pirish b'sifri, b'kinoi k'goin, k'el elokim tzavakos. You can bench Birchos Kohanim, yivarechacha, elokim v'yishmerecha. Ya'er, k'el, panaveilecha v'chunecha. That's how you can bench Birchos Kohanim is written with the Shem Havaya. You can't pronounce the Shem Havaya outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what are you going to use? K'el elokim tzavakos. Says Taisus, Loim is Taber. The Hechi Taisus Kadadu Shabushi Krol the Meimar Yivarech Acha Elokim B'Mokom Shem Ben Arba Isias. In place of the Shem Avaya, how can you substitute Elokim? What's the Kinoi the Gemara is talking about? Ba'alef Dalet the Shem Adnos. You can use the Shem Adnos outside the Beis Hamikdash. Why does Taisus feel? And that's what we're passing. Why does Taisus feel? You can use the Shem Adnos outside the Beis Hamikdash. We're not Kael Elokim and Tzvakos. Because the Shem Adlus is the same as the Shem Avaya. They're one name, says Rav Moshe. That's what he explains his opinion to Tosfos. That's why you can use it outside. You can't pronounce it as it is. You can use the Shem Adlus. However, Rabbeinu Hillel understood that, no, the Shem Adlus is also a separate name. So what difference does it make? Shem Adlus, Kael, Tzavakos, Elikim. They're all separate names of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They're all different names. Adlus is not the same as the Shem Avaya. Oh, if Adlus is not the same name as the Shem Avaya, use a different name too. Kael, Elikim, Tzavakos, what difference does it make? Adlus isn't Avaya either. But the other opinion, not Rabbeinu Hillel, the opinion that we pass in Eichen Tosfos, is how that Adlus is Avaya. It's the same thing. Oh, if Adlus is Avaya, like the Rambam said, Yechai from Agadev for Avaya and Adlus, because they're the same name. It's written one way, but pronounced a different way. It's a Kri and a Ksiv, but it's not a separate name. The other, Rabbeinu Hillel, held that they're two separate names. Once you're not using the Shem Avaya, use Kael, use Elikim, use Tzavakos. So I believe that's what's going on. I'm Achlekes over Rishonim over here as well. Okay, Rabbi said, what is Achlekes Hashem Baisi Yosef? You're not allowed to pronounce Hashem Havaya as it's written. And not only that, you're not allowed to say the letters of the name consecutively. So we said, not only the four letters of the Shem Havaya, but at least if you mean for the shorter name of Ka, you're not allowed to say the two letters consecutively either. So Rabbi Chanan held, not only that, once you're going to say that, the two letters of first two letters of the Shem Adnas as well, you can't say consecutively. Aleph and Dalet, you also can't say consecutively. Certainly all four, but even Aleph and Dalet. Where do you get that from? The Ri asks. Aleph Dalet is never found anywhere in Tanakh to refer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why should Aleph and Dalet be a problem of our Hagas Hashem Baisi Yosef? So Rabbi say, why? I'll tell you why. You know why? Because Rabbi Chanan takes this far, even further. The Shem Adnus is the way the Shem Havai is pronounced to the degree that the first two letters are the corollary of the first two letters of the Shem Havaya. So the Aleph Dalet is Ki'ilu, you said the Yud and then the Hey. So just like you can't say your Yud and then a Hey consecutively, Ha'agas Hashem Ba'is Yosef, you can't say the Aleph and the Dalet consecutively. They're the same name. Four letters, four letters. It's written Yud Havaya. It's red Shem Adnos. And therefore, since you can't say the Yud and the Hey consecutively, Rabbi Chanan held, you can't say the Aleph and the Dalet consecutively. Even though we never find Aleph Dalet referring to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because when you say Aleph Dalet, we hear Yud and then Hey. You hear, Rabbi? That's where he's coming from. And the Ri said, "What are you talking about?" The Ri can make two arguments. He could argue, first of all, that's a jump. Not only, even if Havaya and Adnos are the same name, they're not two separate names. Even if they're the same name, we could argue and distinguish when you say Aleph and then Dalet, that's not the equivalent of Yud and then a Hey. If you say the entire Shem Adnos, that's the equivalent of the Shem Havaya, but not if you break it up into its parts. But that's perhaps where Bachan is coming from, or perhaps the reheld that the Shem Adnos and the Shem Havaya are two separate names like we already discussed. Perhaps that's the explanation for those two opinions in Tosfos. But Rabbi says, I have a better reason. Let's get back to our Gemara. I have a better... What are we so concerned about over here? We said, on the tzitz, we're trying to derive again how tall the kaparis was on top of the urn. We learned it out of the mizgeres on top of the shulchan, which was a tefach, here too, a tefach. Why can we derive from the tzitz, which was very thin? The tzitz is a dormant, a tachshit, not a kli, so therefore we don't derive the height of the kaparis from the tzitz. We're trying to look at similar items. But on the tzitz is written a yud and then a hey, then kodesh Hashem on the second line. So he asks Tosfos, how can we say a yud and then a hey? Isn't that a problem? Hey, it's a shame by seeing yourself. So Tosfos says he didn't have intention for the whole name, only for the yud. We had intention for the whole name, not for the yud and the hey. And then since we didn't have intention just for the yud and the hey, we had intention for the whole name. You only said two of the letters. That's not a problem. Hey, it's a shame by seeing yourself. Only if you say all four, or if you have intention just for the two, the name of two letters. But I have a better answer. You know what the better answer is? What are we doing here, Rabbi? I said, we're just saying letters that happen to represent the Shem. We're learning Torah. The Hahagas Hashem Baisi Yosef is a problem when you're learning? Really? Is it? So look at Taisa Mesechta Sabbath Zara. Taz is commenting on the Gemara Masechta Zvei Dezer that spells out the letters of the Shem Hashem that tells you what are the Shemas that are not Nimchakim. Ba'alif Dalet, and then Be'yud, and then Hey. Those are Shemas that are not Nimchak, as we mentioned, you can't erase them. Some said the Aleph and the Dalet means the whole Shem Adnus, some said just Aleph Dalet. Remember, we had two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. We discussed what about saying the name letters consecutively. How literally do we take this as Aleph Dalet, or perhaps it's just a printer who put it in? But either way, we're saying the letters, certainly Yud and then Hey. Taisa says, perhaps you didn't have intention for the name, it's allowed. Meaning? Does that mean just we're learning? We don't mean to say the name of Hashem, we just mean to say the letters? Is that what it means? Kevin Sha'ainu Miskavim L'Shem Mutar Gamze. Maybe it's because we're just learning. It's allowed. Is that saying different than our Taisa? What our Taisa say? Kevin Sha'ainu Miskavim L'Shem Shem Shalem. Is that what he meant too? Kevin Sha'ainu Miskavim L'Shem. Meaning the Yud and then the Hey. You didn't mean it as a Yud and then the Hey. No. What do you think, Rabbi? I think he's saying the same as our Taisa. Now that I look at it more carefully. Sounds like he would not allow it even though we're learning. Even though we're learning, it's a problem. Be Haigas Hashem by Siyasa. That's why Taisus keeps jumping on us. Every time we say the letters of the Shem Hashem, it's a Haigas Hashem by Siyasa. Even though we're learning, it's a problem. Can you say the name of Hashem when you're learning? Can you say the name of Hashem when you're learning? So look at the Gemara Masechtas Brachas. We're discussing Haigas Hashem by Siyasa. Taisus seems to assume that you can't. But look at the Gemara Brachas. The Gemara is discussing a Baal Keri. A Baal Keri, a person who's Moitzi Zera, is not allowed to learn Torah from a Takanas Ezra. Whether we practice that today. Nowadays is a different discussion, but in the times of the Gemara, that was treated as Takanas Ezra. So the Gemara says, even though he's not allowed to learn Torah until he goes to the mikvah, but Af Matzias HaGemara, you can actually let him learn Gemara, give him a Gemara. Uvavad Shlo Yomar Eskara Shavoy. He can't say the names of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Gemara. What does that imply? That we can. The Baal Keri can't. He's not allowed to learn, really. Yeah, Gemara, fine. But Psuke, you know, the shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, no. What about us? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden has in his Tshuvah She'elas Yaivitz. Rabbi Yaakov Emden was a great guy, 1700s. He was the son of the Chacham Tzvi. There's an even greater authority preceded him. So he writes that you see from this Gemara that only the Baal Keri is not allowed to say the Shemos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When he's learning, we can. So if you come across the Shem of a Kadosh Baruch Hu while you're learning, you can say it. Even though it's not part of a bracha, anything like that. You're allowed to say the Shem of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, he says the Chacham Tzvi, his father, when he was darshaning, when he was learning Gemara, had no problem saying the Shemos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We've seen people do this. Yeah, you've ever seen someone say the name of Hashem in the middle of a drasha? Eretz Yisrael, you see it more. People more liberal than here. Here, you don't see it too often. So that was Rabbi Yaakov Emden learned that from that Gemara. How can we get out of that for Gemara, Rabbi Say? Nah, it's not a raya. You know what it's talking about there? What's it talking about? He can't say the Askara is the Shemus of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It means in a Pasuk, he can learn Gemara. But the Psukim that appear in the Gemara that have the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Baal Keri can't say. What can we say? Yeah, if a whole pasuk appears in the Gemara with the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu, we can say it. But if it's not a pasuk, then no, you can't. It's only if it's part of a pasuk. Yeah, if it's part of a pasuk, we know, of course, you can say the Shem of Kadosh Baruch Hu in the part of a pasuk. But if it's not part of a pasuk, then you can't. If it is part of a pasuk, then you can. Maybe it has to be, though, a whole pasuk. Maybe it has to be a whole pasuk. But certainly you see, perhaps, from our Gemara, that to say the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even in the context of learning, is a problem. If it's not, at least in the context of a pasuk. That's why Taisus is so upset about this. He gets ashamed by Siyosa. Why? If you can say the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu while you're learning, what's the problem? So I think from our Taisus, you have a riot against Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, it's a problem to say the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's okay to say the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu when you're learning. So why can't we be he gets ashamed by Siyosa when we're learning? I don't know. So it sounds like from here on out, then not that way. You cannot say the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu when you're learning. Unless it's a part of a pasuk. If it's part of a pasuk, then perhaps it's allowed. So Bavadi writes in the Abi Omer, he doesn't think you should stop and say the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu when you're learning, when you're darshaning. He says there are people who do it. Everyone knows there are people who do it. Based on what Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was medayik from the Gemara Brochas that you can do it when you're learning and you're darshaning. You want to say the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Or people who want to make these shiros v'sishbachos dash, you know, they want to say, like, you know, for dramatic effect. I've seen people use the Shem Hashem when they're darshaning. So there's based on Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who derived from the Gemara that you can do it. But Bavadi recommends, unless it's part of a pasuk, you shouldn't do it. The truth of the matter is, though, that when you're teaching, and this seems to be the way the Mishnah Berurah passes. Look over here in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, when you're teaching little children brachas, mutar lelamed litinokos habrachas tekitikunam, v'af al pi shehem mevarchin levatola b'shas halimud. Even though the children are going to say a brach levatola when they're learning, it's allowed. You're going to teach a child, how do you say a shahako? You're going to teach him the nusach habracha. How's he going to practice? With the nusach habracha. That's not how children practice in our times anymore. All children practice by saying Hashem. The problem is, when they actually get up to say the brachas, they only know the Shem Hashem. How many bar mitzvah boys have I heard? Many. I've heard get up to say the brachas by their aliyah, and they say Hashem, instead of saying the name, proper name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Shulchan Aruch actually says, when you're teaching little children the bracha, they should use the Shem Hashem. So it says the Mishnah Berurah, wrote to Loimah, Shaloi made Harav Imam at brachas, Shaloi bezman, and afil hoki mutar lahazkir Shem Hashem. So God, they're permitted to say the Shem, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but afil harav yachol lahazkir Hashem. This is allowed. An adult, when he's learning the Gemara, should not say the Shem Hashem, not like Rabbi Yaakov Emden. You should not say the Shem Hashem. Rabbi Yaakov Emden said you can. Look, only the Baal Keri was not allowed to. We say that's talking about a pasuk. He couldn't even say the psukim. We can say a pasuk. But certainly, when you're learning the brachas in the Gemara, or even the Shem Hashem that appears randomly in the Gemara, you're not supposed to pronounce it as the Shem Hashem. Rakish alaymid apsukim and his karm betalmid rosh el ha'omram kimo shem ksuvim imas karas Hashem. Only when you're learning the psukim, then it's allowed. Otherwise, it really shouldn't be done. Yes, there were those who did allow it, but otherwise, it really shouldn't be done. So, what should you do when you're reading the brachas? You say it without shame of a Kodesh Baruch. What about in a tefillah? Can I compose? Can you say the name of Hashem? If it's not a pasuk, and it's not a bracha, it's, let's say, a yihiratzoin, or it's zmirois. What about the shame Hashem there? We said when you're learning, no. Rabbi Yaakov Emden said yes, and there are those who do it, and I'm not here to decry them. We even have one Rebbe in the yeshiva likes to do it. But other than that, this is Rabbi Yaakov Emden, or Rabbi Avadia discusses it, maybe doing it. But that's not our practice. But what about in a random tefillah? Can you say the shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So look at the Ramah. The Ramah says, discussing a person who forgets Yalav Yavah on Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi, so let's say you're having a meal on Rosh Chodesh. You forget Yalav Yavah. What do you do? What? You have a meal on Rosh Chodesh. Forget Yalav Yavah. You go back? Why don't you go back? Now I have to have a suda. You don't go back if you have to. Even Rosh Hashanah, if you forget, you don't go back. Because some Rishonim held you could fast on Rosh Hashanah. So you don't go back unless you have to have a meal. If you don't have to have a meal, you don't go back. Can you make up Yal V'Yavah just to make yourself feel good in the middle of the Harachamans? Can I just say Yal V'Yavah? So Ramah says, V'efshu d'mikol makom yesh lo'oymer b'seik shah Harachamans. Maybe I should say Yal V'Yavah in the middle of the Harachamans. K'moshin is bro le'el gabi Al Anisim. If you forget Al Anisim by Chanukah, before Val HaKol, maybe you should say Al Anisim in the Harachamans. So maybe Yal V'Yavah too, you should say in the Harachamans. V'ulai yesh l'chale ki b'Yal V'Yavah yesh bo haskar shemos ve'ein lo'omer levatoa keini roliva cheinoigen. Says the Ramah, don't do Yal V'Yavah in the Harachamans. You know why there's a name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu there? Don't say it. Say, yes, the Bir Aloch in the name of the Magen Avram. What is he so worried about? Saying the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the tefillah? We do that all the time, he said. We say that in Zmiras, we say the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say it in Tefillas and Tachanunim all the time. He wrote in this, he wrote in that. V'davka brachal about Tala Oser. But if it's part of a Tefillah, it's allowed. Vayisi b'sefer b'gdei yashu shem yashu b'kan gabi avu yovu shem kvanosu b'zeh lotzei tzidei chiyu bracha. No, because here he says, you think you're being yotzei, mentioning Rosh Chodesh and benching during the Rachamans. So now, it's now part of a tefillah nedava. You think you're in a voluntary tefillah, you think it's a tefillah chiyuv. So then, yesh b'zeh chashash bracha v'tora, that's a problem. But if you know that it's only a voluntary tefillah, you want to say the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, geig isn't. Not a problem at all. That's how the Magen Avraham and the Bi'al Halacha seem to paskin. However, the Eishel Avraham, that's the Buchacha Rav in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, and this Ramah explains what the Ramah means to say. What he means to say is, if you're saying a text that was composed by Chazal, so even if you don't have Kavana for proper Kavana, when you're saying the shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're saying the text that Chazal composed, that's okay. But if you are randomly evoking the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of a tefillah, be it a tefillah nedava, so yes, the Magen Avraham is right. May Ikar Adin, it's not a problem. It's not Motzi Shem Shemaim Levatala. It's part of a tefillah, and you can do that. Brach Levatala is a problem. Saying it is part of a tefillah, even if it's like one of these Yiratzons, fine, or part of his Miros, that's fine. But says Eishel Avraham, you better have Kavana now. See, if it's part of a text that Chazal, you know, obligated us to say, even if you don't have proper Kavana, it's okay. You can hide behind Chazal, Anshe Knesset Gedolah. But if you're making up a tefillah, or you know, you're saying something you're not obligated to say, and you don't have kavana, that's worse. Then you're just throwing around the Hashem's name like it's part of a niggun. So that's why the Buchacharov says the Ramah recommended not to say Yalav Yavoy, because if you don't have kavana when you're saying it now you have a problem. And there are many people who don't have kavana bechlal when they're benching. So busy cleaning up and, you know, making hand signals to everybody. So he doesn't have kavana bechlal. So you say the part Anshe Knesset HaGedolah told us to say, fine, you're going to say it elsewhere, now it's a problem. And I think that's important in Zmiros too. If you take Zmiros very seriously, you have kavana, you want to say Hashem Hashem, great. But most people, when they're singing Zmiros, someone comes and interrupts them and asks them if they want a cup of tea. They stop in the middle, you know, and they have a whole conversation. That's not a tefillah to Hashem. That's, you know, that's a Shabbos niggun. So then that's that would be, then I think you should be more cautious in the way you use the Shema Hashem in Zmiros. Okay. Shema Hashem.